very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, welcome to an emergency episode of 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host. It's Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Emergency because Kyle Shanahan spoke to reporters, not me, but Matt Barrows was one of them, summoned to Levi's Stadium, to 4949 DiBartolo Court, or whatever road that is. On pretty short notice, is my understanding. And he wanted to clarify some things. It sounds like it was definitely preceded by the Chronicle story, quoting the police, whatever that was, report, saying that was the 21-year-old woman in an SUV that pulled out in front of him, and he wanted to clarify that was incorrect in the database, that he's the one who looked away from the road, his cell phone fell into between the seats. Now, that's happened to me, by the way, but he looked down, and his car went into the other lane and crashed. Now, you were there, about what, six reporters?
One reporter for every major outlet that covers them, I would say. Mm-hmm. Six reporters, I think.
And you went to his office?
We were taken to his office. Mm-hmm. We arrived one by one. We all received sort of a mysterious text that said, Kyle Shanahan wants to talk to you in his office. How soon can you get here? Mm. And so I thought I was the chosen one. And we all thought that it was an individual thing. So we all showed up at different times. Of course, I'm closest, so I arrived first, and I had to wait for the slowpoke, which was Matt Maiocco, who apparently lives in
Oregon, or something like that. It took him a while
to get there. And so we were all brought to Kyle's office, and Kyle sat down at his desk and said some of the things that he wanted to tell us were off the record and that some would be on the record. And he basically said that when he saw reports that started emerging last night that this 21-year-old driver was to blame for taking an illegal turn and causing the collision, he got very upset because she wasn't to blame. It was him who is to blame because of the cell phone leaning over and then veering off into the oncoming lanes. So this is Alma Avenue in Palo Alto, 4-lane road. 2 lanes are going north, 2 lanes going south. Shanahan was traveling south in the left lane. The phone slides off of his lap. He goes to pick it up. He's rising up, and the next thing he knows, his airbag has been deployed, and he just feels a very, very violent impact. And he said he never lost consciousness, that he remembers every detail of what happened, and he went over those details with us today. And by the way, the Palo Alto PD has since corroborated that they mishandled the information. So it goes to a state database, and it's done with drop-down menus, and there are dozens of different categories, and it all has to be sort of manually put into this database. And everything was correct except for who was deemed at fault. Sort of a big item that was
now, his name is not in this report, right?
Neither party's name is in the database, but one is a 46-year-old male, the other is 21-year-old female. So it's pretty clear which one Shanahan is, and he's deemed in the database right now. Now it's being corrected right now that he's going to be the one that was deemed at fault. Now neither of them were cited. So the Palo Alto PD, in their statement that was just issued, that said, yeah, we messed up the data transfer, said that at the scene of an accident like that, it's up to the officer's discretion to cite somebody or not. And so this officer decided not to cite anyone in this case. They made it a point to say preferential treatment was not given. People can debate among themselves whether that was the case. Shanahan was bleeding pretty heavily from his face at the time. Paramedics were on the scene. Shanahan said that he insisted he not go to the hospital until Mandy arrived. He was in communication with her. So once she showed up, he went to the hospital and basically was stitched up and checked out. He said he remembers all of it. He was quite graphic about them, you know, lifting his eye and doing all the stitch work that needed to be done in there. If you read the story I wrote, he's got a very funny quote about, you know, he's got the greatest plastic surgeon in the world, because you couldn't tell from sitting across from him that he was in a major car accident, except for the fact that he's still dealing with concussion-like symptoms. But the exterior stuff, the face, I mean, he's got a cast on his hand, but that has been handled about as well as it could have been.
What's coming out lately from the Chris Sims account and from this is, like, his eye could have been way more seriously damaged, and it was the garage door in manipulator. That's what it was on the top, you know, on the blinder, whatever, and that was there on the visor. And when the car pillow? I can't even think of what is that? The airbag, which caused a concussion, which sometimes does happen. But how do you get the eye? That's one thing I was like, how does your eye get hurt in that? And it was from the garage door clicker.
And the airbag may have pushed up the visor too. So he's coming up from, you know, having gone down to pick up his cell phone, and the collision occurs. So he's turning into the crash. The airbag's coming up. It's flipping up the visor. So that's the conjecture, that the airbag broke his nose. The visor caused this big gash in his brow, really. I asked him, how do you think you broke your hand? It's sort of the bones on the outside of his left hand. He wasn't sure about that. The ribs, he said, oddly, you know, you usually think of broken ribs and you think of the ribs, you know, at your side or at your back. That's where football players tend to crack their ribs. He said his were basically in the front, sort of a triangle shape, right at his sternum almost. So that may have been airbag as well. Or maybe, you know what, maybe it's the left hand. Or steering wheel, left hand being crushed by the airbag into the chest.
What was this, like, I read maybe in your story or someone else's, that he was emotional? I mean, was it a kind of a somber discussion? Was it, I'm sure he was lighthearted a little bit, as you just mentioned, but what was kind of the general atmosphere in there?
He was distressed. He was distressed about the fact that this young woman had taken the blame or had been blamed. And we should say that the reporters who did that were using state database. I mean, there was no nefarious work there. It had been a clerical error. So they faithfully wrote what was in the database, but, the blame had been assigned to the wrong person. So he'd been in contact with the family, and I'm being a little bit hesitant here because he was on and off the record, but he didn't like the fact that this young woman had been blamed for the car crash that he caused. So he felt guilty about causing the accident, and was dealing with that. And then it came out that just the opposite. Like the one item in this, you know, myriad of little drop down menus that was wrong was a fairly sizable error.
The woman's name was not in the report.
Right? So she's not identified.
Yeah, not been spotlighted than seeing the story and going, what the hell? I'm sure that might have been what happened.
And then the other part of it is that he's still dealing with the concussion. And he said that, you know, one of the symptoms is that I'm overly emotional. I'm more emotional than I normally am. So he talked about that for a little bit. Loud music bothers him, and Kyle Shanahan's practices are all about loud music. He had trouble watching film. In fact, Monday was the first day he really was able to watch a full practice worth of film. And he was very encouraged by that. And then when he got home that night, his headache resumed. And then he saw the report about the young woman being, at blame, and didn't get a good night's sleep. And so today he was not feeling as well. His point was that he's gotten steadily better and better from this concussion, but that it's nonlinear. Some days are better than others. It depends how stressful the previous day was, et cetera, et cetera. So it doesn't seem as if he's ready to take command of the team anytime soon. He said that he thought he would be better by now. He knows that he will be better, but he's just not there yet. And it was a traumatic brain injury. That's what a concussion is. So like John Lynch said the other day, they just have to let it run its course and give him the time he needs to get better. Bottom line, he's getting better, not quite there yet.
These are just outside stuff, but like tone of voice, his loud voice, or was he speaking quietly? Anything different in the way that was presented?
No, I mean, his personality was the same. I would describe it as everything was heightened personality-wise. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he was emotional, but he was also funny and, made jokes, self-effacing jokes every now and then. You recognized Kyle Shanahan in the person, but you also recognized, okay, this guy's not at full strength right now. But like I said, looks-wise, he almost looks back to normal. And personality-wise, he's almost back to normal there as well. He's just not there yet.
Did he address at all what the delay was about? Obviously, this great controversy over it. I won't talk much about it, but it was a delay. July 14th is the accident. Understandably, you have your family to deal with. Your family has you to deal with. Maybe it doesn't come out right away. But it took a while, 11 days for the 49ers to announce it, anything about this. Any discussion about that at all?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, he said, he wasn't purposely trying to delay it or dupe anybody. He said he told probably, I think he said 14 people about it, close friends. Chris Sims was one, other people that he grew up with. And there was no sort of, directions to say, don't put this out there. Mm-hmm. People just didn't put it out there. He didn't tell a lot of media members. He told one, there was an understanding that I don't know. He didn't go into detail about that, but
not on this podcast. Let's make that clear.
No. It wasn't that person was not Tim Kawakami. Yeah. We should say that.
Got hit for a lot on this, so let's just say that was not me.
But I would say that was his second biggest point. The first one obviously was that he was at fault, not this young woman, and he felt really bad about that. The second one was that he wasn't deliberately out there trying to suppress information, and certainly wasn't telling the Palo Alto PD to suppress information. Another reason is that it's not. I mean, no one knew that this database existed. Mm-hmm. Until today. So it's not like it's public information, but it's not like it's easy to obtain or, you go through the normal channels about it. It's a traffic accident. And Palo Alto PD has made very clear that they're not making that accident report public because it's not required by law. Now, some jurisdictions do, especially when it involves a celebrity. like San Jose police, if it involved Steve Kerr, you know, in a traffic accident, they would put out the full accident report. But it's not required, and Palo Alto PD is not working under those rules.
Yeah, and also this public records thing has become a big thing out there. It's like, it doesn't mean they're sending it out to everybody. It's just right. It's in a file somewhere. If you know how to find it, it's available, but it's not like, hey, everybody, there's this public records and you're ignoring it if you don't read it. It's like, you have to know exactly what you're looking for.
I loved your point to somebody on Twitter, is that if you want us to start checking the police logs and accident reports of every jurisdiction in the Bay Area, and what are there? Like, 24?
At least.
Then support your local newspapers and media, because those have been cut down drastically in the last 20 years. And you're lucky if you've got a cops reporter, one cops reporter in your town. Lucky. You're very lucky. But that's a consequence, that you don't have people checking these things because you just don't have the staff to do that.
Yep. And it's not just, here you go, this is the thing you want to read. That's not it. That isn't how this works. Well, very interesting. I knew you were busy. I was texting, like, you were very cagey when I was texting, which is fine. It's like, who's there? I was just trying to figure out what's all happening. And then I said, when do you want to podcast later today? And you went, how about two-ish? And it was 1:58. you want like right now? Ish? Is that ish? Ish is right now.
I lost track of time at some point today. And to be honest, I wasn't being cagey. I got called in thinking that, at the same time that all this is going on, we're in a back and forth with the team about closing practices, which it was closed today. We didn't watch practice. There was no official media availability because they've instituted this new jog through. Mm-hmm. One of their days is now a jog through, which is not open to the media. And so, as good reporters, we're fighting against this. I thought that very well could have been the reason I was being brought into Kyle Shanahan's office, is to go over our points and his points about why reporters should not be there on Tuesday.
That's probably the last thing he wants to do when he's getting back from a concussion. Summon me, Barros. Let's talk about practice availability.
Exactly.
This shall make me better. Well, then
about practice availability.
My text to you, I hopefully enlighten you about what you might be doing. Who knows? I was like, something's going on down there. Then don't blow me up for that either. I just was wondering. I was curious. But yeah, it's good that he did this, I think. I think the motivation, you can't argue with it. He wanted to clarify that it was his fault. Something went out. Someone else was blamed. He did not want that. That's why this happened probably way earlier than I think it would have. I was not expecting Kyle Shanahan to speak maybe till the end of the week at earliest, and maybe probably next week, maybe much more logically. So that part of it I get, it's like, I want to be open about this, and you're going to get hit for it eventually, right? If someone's claiming it's not your fault and it is your fault, you're going to get hit for that. So I get all of that. And maybe this means he's, going to be able to talk to us at some point, again, and about the football team. We kind of want to see that, right? What does he think about Deshaun's dribbling or whatever? Like, this seems minor given his health status, and he almost lost his eye and he's in a concussion, but he is the head coach of the 49ers. So maybe they can move in that direction. Maybe by next week. I don't know. I'm just guessing. You're the one who saw him. But like, when would you just say, hey, this guy might be not just running practice, but speaking to the media and all these other things?
I was more optimistic about that before seeing him. I will say that, because we'd seen him from a distance.
Yeah.
At practice, watching practice next to John Lynch, and through my binoculars, he seemed okay. I mean, his gait seemed a little bit slow, but I figured that was kind of soreness from the accident. He said outright that he wished he could get up there at the podium and address everybody and handle all these questions. He's just not equipped to at this point. Fatigue, light, these, all the things that you associate with, bothering somebody who's suffered a concussion, he's dealing with. So he just can't at this point. So I'm not going to guess, but I thought that maybe, you know, they practice on Wednesday, they practice tomorrow, and then they have the league mandated players day off on Thursday. I thought that Friday might be when he comes back. Now I would think that that might be a little bit early. Maybe it's the next segment. I could be wrong. I mean, he could have two really good days in a row and feel good enough to handle everything he has to do. I would think, though, that they keep erring on the side of caution until they're confident that he can handle a full day's work.
Well, that Titans joint practice is basically 2 weeks from now, right?
Yes.
I think he'd really want to be on the field for that. I just think that would be very important for him. And then the week after that in LA, like, you don't want to travel somewhere onto somebody else's practice site without your head coach. So I think I would say he would be disappointed. And again, obviously the health is going to mean the most. The doctors are going to decide this. But if he's, you know, he will really want to be there for the Titans joint practice, and will really, 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 really want to be there for the Chargers joint practice. And that's in two weeks and then in 3 weeks. I don't want to, you know, if he's not there, he's not there. That's the way it goes with a serious condition like a concussion. But in my loose mind, and also, he probably will not be running practice Wednesday and Friday. Almost certainly wouldn't be. But I think I've said this before. You think Friday is going to be the first padded day? It just feels like to me, just looking at the way this works.
Yeah, it seems like it, except for the fact that they're married to this idea of kind of ramp ups. Mm. So, like, for example, tomorrow, Wednesday, will be the most intense practice of this first segment of four practices. So if you go by that, then it would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday would be the jog through day. And then maybe Monday would be the most intense of the second segment of practices. And so it's possible that's the padded practice.
Maybe tomorrow, right? I mean, if they're ramping up for the first set, I don't know. It seems like you wouldn't do it on the fourth day of 4 days.
There is a rule that, you know, I forget how many days you have to practice before you can put pads on, but maybe tomorrow. I forget what the rule is.
I'm going to guess it's Friday. I might be wrong. I will be there on Friday. That's why I'm saying that, but maybe I'm incorrect there. But I will not have been there for a while, but that's okay. They're off for two of those days. They're off yesterday we couldn't go, and they're literally off on Thursday. So, who knows? Trying to guess this new schedule is difficult. Plus, with a head coach who isn't running the practice and all these other things. All right, Barrow, it's interesting stuff. Glad you could make it. Glad you could be there so much earlier. You probably were there, 40 minutes before Maiocco was there?
Well, remember, at this point, I thought I was going to get some sort of exclusive Shanahan.
I thought you were. And then
I learned that I wasn't. And then I learned I had to wait until the slowest reporter showed up. So I was there about 2 hours before Slowpoke.
Wow.
Maiocco came in from, Grass Valley or wherever the hell he lives.
I could have made it down there in that. Of course, I was not going to be down there. Glad it happened. Glad we got more information. And we'll be continuing to be getting more information as this goes. We'll be continuing to do podcasts as this goes. But there's our emergency. Charles Shanahan speaks to Matt Barrows and slower reporters. Slower witted or just slower? I'm not sure.
Well, all of the above, I would say.
And we will be back with you probably Friday, I would imagine. We will be back with you with another episode. So goodbye.